And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, they're here. They're here. You know, in 1985, I wrote the very first book ever published on personal robots. It was called The Personal Robot Book. And I announced in that book that the age of the personal robot, the home robot, was here. Now, it's been 28 years since my writing that book. It was a big bestseller at the time. It was a selection of the Computer Book Club, the Electronics Book Club. But it was a little bit before its time. You know, I wrote a number of books at that time about robotics. Again, I guess I was on the cutting edge. I wrote The Great Robot Book, and I even wrote a book on careers with robots. The very first book ever published in the whole world on careers or jobs with robots. Now, a lot of people at that time said, well, Tex, this can't be. This is all science fiction. Now, I have a new book out now. After 25 years or so, not being in the robotics field and, of course, publishing, as you know, my good friends, a number of books, Mysterious Monuments, Codex Magica, Project Lucid, Conspiracy World, and so on. But I've always been very interested and had a passion for robots. I guess God just put it in my heart to study the field of robotics. So after all these years, sort of, keeping, my left hand in it, so to speak, finally I put my right hand back in it, and now I've produced a book that is sure to stir the world. It's entitled Robot Alchemy, Androids, Cyborgs, and the Magic of Artificial Life. Robot Alchemy. I've already gotten a few books from a few letters from good friends of mine say, why this book? They haven't even got the book yet. You see, they saw that I had offered it. What do robots have to do with God's kingdom? What do robots have to do with the power of prophecy? Ah, yes, my friends. Well, you'll have to read the book because there's a lot in there that talks about prophecy. But it's really an overview of robots. Many color pictures in the book. I want you to have this book. You know, I sent a copy to my grandson. He's a great grandson, I should say. That's right. I'm old enough to have a great grandson. And I thought he would enjoy the pictures in it. He's not an old tyke, but he did. He loves the pictures. They're spectacular. But I also want him to look beyond the pictures. I want him to have a little bit of wonder and awe at the future. Now, if you have an idea of robots as the old clunky metallic things in movies like Star Wars, and even before them, remember A Forbidden Planet? Remember the big galoot? And he and the professor were always at odds with each other. And then, of course, there's all kinds of movies on robots. Then we had, of course, the Terminator series. Suddenly the fun robots turned mean, turned cruel. They were trying to extinguish human beings from the face of the planet. Now, many people enjoyed Schwarzenegger as the Terminator and said, well, that never could happen, of course. But it could. And I believe it probably will. That's why I wrote my new book. It's the first of its kind. Now, some people have sort of touched on it, but I just flat out wrote a whole book about it. Now, some people say, well, Tex, you can't sell a book that is so frightening and scary and has such ramifications and is going to make people think. Well, that's what I do. I make people think. Now, they said, well, you know, robot alchemy, the alchemy in it, that word means occult witchcraft. It means an occultist makes something out of nothing. Only God can do that. Oh, I know that. Now, some people have already written me, a couple actually, I think, did read the newsletter, and they said, the scenario you paint in your book will never happen because God is in control. Well, I never doubt that. That's for sure. And he knows all these things are going to happen. And whether it's nuclear bombs or UFOs or robots, God creates worlds. Not just Earth. You know, a lot of people, there's a scientist from Great Britain. You may remember the guy, Arthur Clarke, who did the book, you know, 2001, A Space Odyssey, 2010. But Arthur Clarke was a specialist with NASA, but he was a British scientist. Highly thought of throughout the world, but he was an atheist pedophile, to be honest with you. But Arthur Clarke often said that if we were to discover something exists in outer space, if a UFO were to land and some odd creature came out of it, that would mean the death knell for Christianity. No one would trust Christianity again because Christianity is man-oriented. Well, I don't know where he got that. Yes, Jesus Christ did favor us on this planet. He favored mankind, but I don't know why he couldn't have gone to 100 other planets and made life. Do you? I mean, he's God of everything. This guy must have been an idiot, Arthur Clarke. I don't care how many books and, you know, how many PhDs he had behind his name. He couldn't understand that God is bigger than the whole universe. Now, people, you know, have written me over the years and told me that I'm all cockeyed because I have these kinds of ideas. Well, they're true ideas and they're going to happen and you better get ready for them and God is already prepared. I even suggest to you that robots and even UFOs are foreseen in the Holy Scriptures. Now you think, well, Tex Mars has really gone bonkers now. He's out of it. Hey, now listen, you're my friends. I want to prove to you what I say is so. I wouldn't say it unless it's so. I have a lot of fun with all the atheists and the others. You know, I used to be at University of Texas and I would go over to the student union hall and sit down and some professors I know would come over and sit and we would just chat for, well, it'd get, you know, a little bit late. I'd almost missed my classes that I taught. But I would debate with them. They would say, oh, there's no God. There is. Well, of course there's a God. The question is there such a thing as a man? And they would look at me. I'd say, I don't know that human life even exists. It's all a figment of your imagination. We all reside in some alternative world. And there are many worlds going on at once. How do you know you're even real? Maybe you're a phantom, a phantasm. Maybe you are a hologram. A quick, brief, fleeting image of light. Maybe you're a nothing. And and pretty soon I'd have them so, you know, confused. They wouldn't know what to think. Oh, my. God is real. And the Bible is real, and there are fantastic mysteries in God's Word. I love mysteries. I do. If you don't love, if you think you've got it all solved, you're wrong. I think there's thousands of mysteries in the Bible. And there are many things that are known. We know who the Lord is. We know he died on the cross for our sins. We know that he's in heaven. He sits at the right hand of God. We know that Jesus Christ created this planet, that he created everything. He created Venus and Mars and things that are way, way off in other galaxies. God is infinitely intelligent, and I think he does things for his enjoyment and pleasure. He does. And you're not going to know God ever. I think there are things that God thinks and he does that you cannot think. He's greater than you. And I think this is the reason for robots. He is allowing robots to be built. Robots that are intelligent. Robots that will outthink, outsmart, outwork, outdo you. They're a superior breed to humankind. And by the way, I stole that. That came out of the book I, Robot by the late Isaac Asimov. Yes, robots are a better breed. They're cleaner. They're quicker. They're more sturdy. They're more durable. Now, scientists say that anywhere from 15 to 30 years from now, we're going to have a time reached that they call singularity. Now, this is a term that a mathematician, a brilliant man from California, wrote a book. His name was Vernon Vinge, V-I-N-G-E. And Vernon Vinge said, you know, in about 25 years, there will be singularity. What is singularity? It's when the robots are at parity. That means they're equal to mankind. Now, there's all kinds of robots in the world, just like there's all kinds of people. Short, fat, tall, rotund, thin, that look like a snake, that, well, there's all kinds of robots. But to think that, in general, all of the robots together are at parity, they're equal to mankind, and many men are now becoming robots. You say, how's that? Well, they've got a term for it in the technological world. It's called cyborgs. A cyborg is a human being that has body parts of a, well, robotic nature. There are people out there that have hearts that are not their hearts. That have hands and legs that are not theirs, but they are. They've got prostheses that work, that have been attached because they had some horrible accident happen to them. Now they're coming up with eyes for people where they can see. And soon they'll be putting chips in everybody. Oh, yes. I talked about that, didn't I? I told you. When I first wrote Megaforces back around 83, 84, somewhere around in there, the book Megaforces, Signs and Wonders of the Coming Chaos, I said there will be biochips put into human beings. And boy, did I ever get people that just said, no. People will never take them. Oh, yes, they will. Now they're in all our pets. My pet has a chip in it. It's a rescue pet. I went and got it from the rescue pound. It's a lovable little dog. It's a rat terrier. I know the title doesn't sound good. Rat terrier. They say they're champions at, you know, finding rats. I don't know. We don't seem to have many rats around our house. So, but he's a beautiful little dog, and he's a rat terrier. But he's got a chip in him. If he gets lost, we can track him down and we can find him. But they're going to have chips. They're already developing them that can be put into your brain, and suddenly you're intelligent. It's like having the whole encyclopedia put in your brain instantly. You can have all of the knowledge in the universe inserted into your brain through a chip. Sounds fantastic. Sounds great, doesn't it? But hold on. Who programs that chip? Who tells the chip what's knowledge and what's not. You know, I received a book here in the ministry. I thought it was a really excellent book, and I read it through, and, you know, and I was very busy that day, and I read the book, and I thought, well, this is good. Good knowledge here. I think I'll offer that to the folks. I offer it to you. Now, a couple hundred of you already bought it, and somebody wrote me a letter from Ireland, good Christian friends of mine, and said, boy, this book is terrible. I'm reading page 23, and it says that Jesus had children, and I said, what? I went and I got my copy of the book. It's missing from my book. I think they printed another edition. They had that in the early edition, then they got complaints, they took that out. I didn't see it. But then I went in another chapter, and I did find some things that I disagreed with. Well, darn it. I've already offered the book. I don't like those parts in there. I don't like to offer those kinds of books. Now, I know I'm going to put a little note in and say, if you bought this book, there's some things about it we disagree. Just use your spiritual application, you know, but it's a good book other than that. Okay. But the copies we have left over that we haven't sold, we're going to return to the publisher and say, we don't want your books like this. We don't like them with errors in them. But this encyclopedic chip you can put in your brain may have errors. It may say that Jesus is not Lord. It may say that he's a myth, that the whole Bible is fake. It may propose to you there's a new God, the one we call the Antichrist. And you'll believe it because you have no way of escaping that knowledge or that understanding or that belief because your brain has been altered. You now have a chip put in your brain, and you'll think whichever way the chip makers want you to. And not only that, they have a back door into your brain. They can put in whatever they want. Pretty soon, you'll think it's okay to kill people. As the Bible says, you will think that you're doing God service by killing. Oh, they can put that in the chip too. But there's the horror machine. Think of this. A chip is inserted in you in which all day long, 24/7, all you do is imagine that you are in a vat of hot bubbling water and you're barely able to keep your nose and your lips just above. You have to keep jumping up and down. And you can't get your breath and you never can get your breath. And you know you're going to die at any moment and you just... What if that feeling, that horror that you are experiencing is an eternal thing? What if you will never get away from that horror machine that you've been hooked up to or put on, or there's a chip in your brain? They now have the means to do it. There's also the creation of what has been called the Borg. B-O-R-G, the Borg. Now, I remember seeing a Star Wars, I think it was, segment. Where is it? Who's it? Data? The one they call Data? Sort of an android. An android is a being that is a robot, but he looks like a human being. Can also be called a humanoid. But Data wanted to be connected with the Borg. And eventually his brain was, and many other thousands can be linked in with the Borg. And all of them would think the same thoughts, dream the same dreams. What kind of army could you create with everybody thinking the same thing? When they're given an order, they will do it. They will kill, they will plunder, they will maraud. Who can stop them? They all think the same thing. They're part of the Borg. They have no Christian sentiment or love. They simply want to kill. Ah, this would be a general's dream, would it not? Killer soldiers, super soldiers, part of a Borg. It can never happen, but wait, I have a news clipping here from Reuters, one of the largest news service. Mind mails move from science fiction to science. The scientist, it says, this is dated February 20th, 2013. The scientists call it a brain link, and it is the closest anyone has gotten to a real-life mind melt. Now, what they did was connect the thoughts of a rat in Brazil, in a laboratory in Brazil, to electronic sensors and sent via internet to the brain of a rat in the United States. And they made sure that both rats thought the same thoughts. They were part of a Borg. This was in Scientific Reports magazine. Duke University Medical Center neurobiologist Miguel Nicolas. He said this is an organic computer. Now, if you link up your computer through the internet to someone else's computer, they can download information you can download in them, in their computer. You sort of essentially have a brain link. But what if multiple brains are linked and all think the same thing? Now, this raises all kinds of ethical concerns, said the article. It's a research project being done right now, creating the Borg by the Pentagon's Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA. Brain-mind interfaces, the Borg. Now, what has this got to do with Bible prophecy? You know, there are areas in the Bible that I'm convinced may well have something to do with robotics. For example, Revelation 9. And he opened the bottomless pit. Oh, the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit. Hell. Hell. The bottomless pit. They have an individual down there. You might call him a person or whatever. His name is Abaddon. In Hebrew. He's the king of the bottomless pit. I think you know his name. He has a number of names. In the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon, which is a combination of Apollo, the Greek sun god, and On, the sun god of Egypt. But in Hebrew, it's Abaddon. That means father of Dan. Now, I'll let you dwell on that one a little bit. The father of Dan. It says, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke, and out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. This is one of the plagues of the last days. And they were given power like unto scorpions to torment men as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh the man. For 5 months, they were given power to torment the men on the earth. And men wished that they were dead. Well, it doesn't kill you. Whatever this being is, a supernatural being or a robotic being, it's like a locust, but it has the power of scorpions, and it can torment men like a scorpion when he striketh a man. For 5 months, they torment the people of the earth, and men wished that they were dead. Locusts also came up out of the bottomless pit like horses prepared for battle, on their heads crowns like gold, faces like men, hair long like women, teeth like lions, and the sound of their wings. Oh, they had wings. It's frightening, isn't it? The sound of their wings. They had tails like scorpions. Think about it. They were like locusts. But they had on their heads crowns like gold, their faces like men, their hair long like women, their teeth like lions, and you could hear the incredible sound of their wings. And they had tails like scorpions. And from their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And their tails were like serpents that bit men and caused great pain. Can you tell me what manner of beast that is, dear friend? Can you describe any animal on earth that comes up out of the bottomless pit? It has a hair, long hair like a woman, a face like a man, teeth like a lion, has wings that sound ferociously. They're like horses, but they have a tail like serpents. They bite men, and they cause great pain. But men continued to do evil. They refused to repent. These must be some kind of a robotic creatures. We'll get to that in just a minute. And our government is creating hordes of locusts and bees and birds. In Revelation 13, we find out about the beast. There's two beasts. One beast comes up out of the sea. Another beast comes up out of the earth. And there is the image of the beast. The image of the beast. It's only an image. It's not the real thing, but it moves and talks. And it causes all to receive a mark in their forehead or in their right hand and serve the beast. The image of the beast. What is that? Is that some kind of a holographic laser image? I've seen television, and at one of the auto shows, I think it was General Motors, had these laser lights. And they first had a stage, and there was nothing on the stage. It was empty. Then they turned on their laser lights, and suddenly on the stage was an automobile, and it began to move its wheels as if it was going at a very fast velocity of speed. And people were amazed at the automobile that wasn't there, but was there. The image of the beast. Now, I tell you that the Bible also has accounting of something that is like a UFO. It's evidently one of God's creatures. Read in Ezekiel. Boy, that Ezekiel was a fantastic prophet. Did he not know and do things? Wow. What a man of God he was. In one of his visions, he was brought up to heaven. And there he saw the great one, God himself, sitting on the throne. And he said, I can't even speak. How can I possibly speak? Anything that I say would be unclean. And God took a hot burning coal, and put to his lips to burn off the filth. In one of his visions, he saw a living creature. A living creature in the heavens. And this creature had wheels. And wheels within wheels. And they did turn. Think about that. Wheels within wheels. And it was alive. Have you ever seen a creature that has wheels? Now, I've seen legs. But I've never seen a creature that had wheels. Have you? Friends, you say the Bible doesn't have robots, it doesn't have robotic creatures. They can be good, they can be evil. We've seen good and evil here in the Bible. And all of these have incredible prophetic content to them. Maybe we need to open up our minds. God is greater than us. God is Alpha and Omega. He was the beginning and he is forevermore. You can't compete with that. The devil can't compete with that. He's already defeated. There are robotic creations. They are amazing creations. Are robots alive? Yes, they are alive. We'll talk about that on the other side in just a minute. I just state that for the fact on this side. You may want to be thinking about it. Maybe you'll want to turn off the knob. You'll want to say, well, this is crazy. Living robots? I don't know. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with me. We'll be right back. Hello, friends. Again, I'm Tex Mars. I want to tell you a little bit about my book, Robot Alchemy. Androids, Cyborgs, and the Magic of Artificial Life. 240 pages. It's a big format book. It's about the size of two regular books. So I guess it's like 480 pages, isn't it? Now, it's $35 in bookstores, but we offer it here to you for $30. Now, please add the $5 shipping and handling, a total of $35, and we'll send it right to you. $35. If you would like a copy of this incredible book, I mean, this, nothing like this has ever been produced. I promise you that. You're not going to see carbon copies of this book in other bookstores, friends. This is the only place. Here's how to get your copy of Robot Alchemy. Send your gift of $35, that includes shipping and handling, to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can also go on our website, which is powerofprophecy.com, or simply textmars.com, powerofprophecy.com. And you'll see a picture of the book and an explanation of it, or a description of it, I should say, right on page one on the home page of the website. And follow the instructions there, and you can order it using one of your charge cards or your PayPal. We'll be glad to take it that way. Now, you can phone us during the work week. Just phone and talk to the friendly folks here and say, I'd like a copy of that new robot book. And we'll get it right on its way to you. And it's sort of a heavy book. It's a sort of a big book, but I think you're going to really, really enjoy it. All the pictures are just fabulous. And the cover is just lovely. The people here, we really care. And, well, you'll just like the book. I promise you that. It's an unusual book. On the front cover is a strange city and all I can say, she's a robot android. I think it's a she. You'll have to look at the artwork and judge for yourself, friends. Oh, my goodness. Robot Alchemy by Tex Mars. Order it today. Just call toll-free 1-800-234-9673. Again, 1-800-234-9673. And, hey, we're going to send you a free newsletter. Yeah, free six-month subscription to our newsletter, Power of Prophecy. Be glad to send it to you. I believe this month's edition is, it's about the death bots. The death bots. Military robots made to conquer in the Big Brother world that's just ahead. All right. Robot Alchemy by Tex Mars. Now let's take a look, if we can. Welcome back, folks. We're talking about my new book, Robot Alchemy, why I wrote it, what it's all about. Now, Vernon Vinge says, and I guess if you'd look at it now, he wrote the book a few years back. In about 15 years from now, we will reach the time or the age of singularity. And from that point, when robots and men are the same, suddenly robots will take off. You see, we're sort of stuck. We've got the brain we've got. Oh, we can go to college and university and all of that. We can study the Bible more. We can get more intelligent, more wise. But we're sort of basically stuck, but not the robot. It's going to get more and more intelligent. In fact, they say that now every two years, knowledge is increased by 100% in the world. Who would have ever thought we'd have iPhones and iPads and all those things just a few years ago? But Vernon Vinge, the mathematician who came up with the word singularity, says that from that age of singularity, when we reach that age and robots will go on and man will stay the same, he says the human era will be ended. Wow. The human era will be ended. It'll be a cybernetic world. A cybernetic world means one in which the robots and the computers take over. Now, if a robot attains consciousness, what we think of as consciousness, it will be able to think for itself, to figure out solutions to problems for itself in ways that you and I cannot fashion. I mean, I'm limited. give me a problem and I'll work on it. I'll try to figure it out based on all of my human ingenuity and knowledge, but it just maybe won't get there. But not a robot. If they truly have consciousness and super intelligence, and we're getting this super intelligence more and more every day in computer power, they will begin to think of solutions to problems that we can't even think about. You know, and robot alchemy is a very interesting science fiction novel. I sort of summarize it by an author named Jack Williamson. The name of his book was With Folded Hands. With Folded Hands. It tells a story about robots. Man made robots, and he made them extremely brilliant and intelligent. And he taught the robots, they programmed the robots, that it was the robots' goal and their purpose in life, their only purpose was to make men happy. Well, who would disagree with that? And the robots, when ordered to do something by a man, would say, "Yes, sir. It is my goal to make you happy." That's what they're here for. Yeah, they're going to serve us. Absolutely. They're our slaves, our serpents. Our servants, not our serpents. They'll do whatever we tell them to do. No. They do what is best for us. They do what will make us happy. And the man got tired. The robots did everything. He didn't have to do anything anymore. And he got lazy. He said, I don't like this. I want to do something for myself. If I want to chop wood, I'll go chop wood. These robots, they feed me. They clean my house. They drive me everywhere. There's nothing they do that I have to do myself. I'm a man. I want to do for myself. And he made a terrible mistake. He told the robots, "I'm not happy." They said, "We're so sorry, sir. We will make you happy." And then he remembered seeing other people they had made happy by getting lobotomies. He knew what they meant. They were fixing to take him away and give him a lobotomy. They would bring him home and he would be happy. They would serve him forever. And the man said, wait, I've decided I am happy. Yes, I'm very happy with what you're doing. I love this. I love whatever you do for me. It's great. They say, "Are you sure, sir? Are you happy?" "Yes, I'm very happy," he said. And then he just sat on his couch and folded his hands. There was nothing left to do. The robots were there to make him happy. And this is sort of a prophetic tale, is it not? You design the robots to do one thing to make you happy. Well, if you design them to win wars, they may all get together and decide there will be no war. Wars are stupid. We will not have wars anymore. And they won't let you have a war. And they'll force you to have peace. And then they will take all of mankind and put a chip in you so that you won't even think of war anymore. But the first, this is, I'm thinking of far out in the future. But they're making robots that are amazing. And there will be unintended consequences of robots, friends. That's what I'm talking about. Unintended consequences of robots. Not only the United States is making robots, but in Japan they make robots that make other robots, replicator robots. At Fanuc, one of the world's largest industrial plants. In China, they're making robots, beginning to. In Great Britain, in Germany, they're making robots. In the book Robot Alchemy, I talk about Foxconn. It's one of the largest corporations in the whole world. It is the largest manufacturer in the whole world. They make electronic parts and entire apparatuses. They make every iPhone in the world in China. Do you know that, friends? They've got one factory that has 450,000 workers in one factory in one city in China. They brought all of these peasants and all from the countryside, and they put them to work in this factory, assembling the iPhone. Did you know that Apple has not one factory in America? All of their iPhones, tens of millions, they're all made in Red China. But you see, the workers are not happy. They're being taken advantage of. They get paid peanuts. And they work six, 7 hours, days a week, 12 hours a day, and they get paid nothing like you would imagine. And the Foxconn company has them in little bitty rooms. Drab gray rooms with a TV set. And that's all they do with their lives. Work. And go back home and work. And many of them are being driven crazy to suicide by their horrible working conditions. The company doesn't care about these people. They're a cost of production. And they began to get together and to riot and demonstrate the workers. Imagine 450,000 workers at one gigantic plant. And then they would go, some of them would go up to the top of the building and jump off and kill themselves. And the Foxconn, the executives, had to actually build huge nets all the way around the building. Can you imagine? Have you ever seen that in America? You drive by an IBM plant or a General Electric plant, there's a big net around the building. You say, what is that? That's when workers jump off to kill themselves. They'll have a net below. But they continued to do these things and to say, I want more money. I want medical care. They began to sort of like we do in America, unionize for more pay and better working conditions. Well, the Red Chinese are communists. They don't like that. They decided they had to do something about it. And they are doing something about it. I proved that in my book. The CEO of Foxconn says, we're going to bring in robots to replace you people. We're going to bring in millions of robots to replace all the human beings and all of our plants. And they brought in the first robots. They call them Fox robots. Now, China didn't have good enough robots. They haven't made them yet. So they bought them from Japan, from Fanuc. The first robots came in, 10,000 robots. They're on the factory floor now, and they laid off all these human beings. See, one robot can do as much as 10 human beings. And a robot can work three shifts, 24 hours a day. And it doesn't need any lights. It knows what to do. You program it, and it's perfect. It's perfect. It does everything. And it's synchronized. All the robots in the plant are synchronized together. It can be cold. It can be hot. It'll work right on. It never gets sick. There's a little bit of maintenance charges on them. When they break down, you have to fix them, but that's no problem. And the plant manager said, I'm so much more happy with robots than human beings. Robots don't try to join a union. Robots don't demand more pay. They do what we tell them to do. Now, I want you to think of this. There's 1,300,000,000 people in Red China, and they all need jobs. They're craving for jobs. And they're already replacing them with robots. The robots in industrial land today are much more intelligent, much more able to do things. And now, Stephen Cook, the head of Apple, says, we're going to open up an Apple plant in America. Now that we've seen how good robots do in China, we're going to open up a plant right here in the United States. And we're going to equip it with robots. We're going to build iPhones here in America. Isn't that great? We're going to have our own iPhones. We're going to have all these plants that are now offshored or sent to China or Brazil or Indonesia or India. Now we can build things in America with robots. But what about the people? What about the 315 million American workers?
Oh, great. We can build our Toyotas and our Lexuses and our Fords here in America now. We can make Hershey bars and cookies and all these things in America. We don't have to use China anymore. But you also will not use American workers. In a automobile factory that used to employ 1,500 workers, they maybe have 150 robots now to do all the work. You know, I was reading the New American, actually Mother Jones magazine, June of this year, June of 2013. And let me read you a quote from it. It's one thing, this is from Mother Jones magazine, it's one thing to say that robots will cause mass employment by 2030. It's another to realize it's already starting to happen. Now, they've been telling you about this for many decades, haven't they? Boy, when we get robotized and it really gets going, they're going to put people out of work. It's happening now. In 1985, I wrote the personal robot book. I wrote Careers with Robots. They were early books. But now it's coming to pass. And now people are being told we're letting you off. They're not being told we're going to replace you with a robot. But they go by the factory 6 months from now and they find out that a robot's doing their job. It's starting to happen around the world. These automation centers are cranking up and they're using these robots. Now, at first, there's a lot of jobs. There were. Because after all, it takes men to make robots. But now you have replicator robots. Robots build other robots. And they build other robots. You don't even need them to make robots anymore. Well, maybe the design, maybe the planning for the robots, maybe the scientists and engineers, but all of the little people out there, the technicians, oh, goodbye. Now, Ray Kurzweil, a genius of a man who's big on robots, is now the director of development at Google. He says we'll have singularity when robots become superior to men or more intelligent in about 20 years. Just 20 years. You know, that's not very long, folks. Think 20 years ago. How old were you 20 years ago? Can you imagine what was going on 20 years ago? Think of 20 years in the future. Now, already we've seen an economy when the stock market is booming, but people still don't have jobs. They're lying about the job numbers. They say, well, unemployment's only about 7.5%, but everybody knows it's 20-25%. How are they keeping it hidden so much that people, you know, are still happy? Well, they're giving them free things. The Obama phones. Go out to Chicago or Detroit and every young black person has a phone and 100 minutes a month or whatever. They're all on welfare. They're all living okay. They have all these freebies. In California, you have a child, maybe you get two or three children. A young black woman, how much can she make? She can make $2,000 or $3,000 a month on welfare. They give her a house to stay in, pay for it. They have free transportation for her. They give her phone service. They buy her food, give her food stamps. On and on. I was seeing a young woman on TV. She says, why should I work? The government gives me everything. But if she wanted to work, where would she work? Now, I know it's one thing to say, well, she can get a job. Anybody can get a job. Maybe that was true at one time. But as we go on into the future, it won't happen, folks. There will not be jobs. This is the robotic apocalypse we're talking about. And it's already here. And you're going to see more and more articles about it. Now, my book will tell you about what happens when people don't have jobs because of robotics. And a robot doesn't always look like a human being, friends. For example, the military has robots. They have one called the Eater. Now, all of these have just come up in the last 5 or 10 years. In the days when I was in the U.S. Air Force, I'm a retired officer. We didn't have robots. Now they've got them. But in 10 or 15 years, There won't even be human beings. Now they're talking about what to do about the drones. They've got thousands of drones, and they're going to build many more. Now, when you become a pilot in the Air Force, you can be pilot of a real airplane where you fly it, or you can be pilot of a drone. What do you do if you're a pilot of a drone? You sit back in the office, and you have a computer terminal, and you operate the drone, which is autonomous, which runs almost by itself. It goes all over the world, and you can kill people with it. Now, I was not a pilot in the Air Force, but I talked with my pilot friends, and they were very happy that they let bombs go and didn't have to see the results. One friend, Robbie, he told me, he says, you know, I don't know if I could take it to see human beings blown apart by the bombs that I've landed. All I see is a huge explosion as I'm miles away on a super blast from his jet aircraft. He looks back and he sees a huge firebomb. Now he knows, intuitively, he knows there are human beings there. He may have just killed 200 or 300 people. But he doesn't have to think about it too much because all he sees is flames and smoke coming up and he's gone. I thank God for that, he said. I don't know if I could live with myself knowing that the horror that I have caused. Now think of a man that has a drone. And he's 300 miles away, the drone is, and it's looking for Pakistanis. He thinks he sees one. He thinks they have weapons, and they're all outside in the open. He says, yeah, there they are. They're the ones that I want to kill. He sees the screen, and he brings the drone right in, and the drone releases its bombs or its missiles, and they explode, and 250 people in a Pakistani wedding party are murdered. He didn't know it was a wedding party. He thought they were terrorists. What were they doing out in the open? Well, that's all they have in Pakistan. He's not there. But he feels terrible knowing there was so-called collateral damage. What they're going to do, of course, is make drones that are completely autonomous, that roam the skies, and when they see a target below, they swoop in and destroy it. How many more mistakes will be made then? But it's okay. The drone has no feelings. It has no sympathy. No empathy. It doesn't care whether it blew up sticks or human beings. Now, that's a robot for you. Now, I want you to understand that Big Brother is big into robots. Billions of dollars are going into robotic production. And there is, for example, the Eater robot. What is the Eater robot? It's a robot that is now in use by the Army, but it's a marvelous machine because it uses biomass for energy. You don't have to feed it gasoline and oil. It can eat twigs and limbs off of trees. Isn't that fantastic? A robot that eats leaves and grass and people. Did I just say people? Yes, it eats people. The Eater robot, that's why they call it the Eater. It literally can eat dead bodies. Now, in a time when we have zombies and cannibal movies everywhere, we build a robot that can actually eat human bodies, dead human bodies. Well, in a time of war, with robots killing thousands of people, there's going to be bodies all over the field. So the robot wants to eat. It just goes out and eats up the bodies. Now, you say, well, that's terrible. That's a horrible thing. I'm not telling you the robots are here for fanciness. I'm telling you they're here for killing. They're killer machines. The Defense Department has also built hunter-killer robots. What do? They're designed to go into stadiums and shopping malls and look for certain human beings. They have sight recognition. When they see you and you're recognized by them, They also have smell recognition, the olfactory senses. They can smell you. How do they do that? Well, they give them a piece of your clothing and they smell it and then they go after you. Hunter killer robots. They can track you down. No matter where you hide in that shopping mall, they'll track you down and they'll kill you. And of course, they're now developing in some countries of the world, romantic robots, sex robots. Now, I suppose, you know, some people will be happy. Now, I really don't need one of those. I have my wife. Thank you. My wife, Wanda, I don't really need one of those. But a lot of people will want a sex partner. And they're going to have robots that, I mean, well, look at my book, Robot Alchemy. Look at the robot. You can't tell whether it's a woman or a robot or a man or a robot. They look, they feel just, they look like human beings. Now, right now, they're a little bit mechanical. They move a little funny. They do talk. Their lips move. Their eyes flutter. But more and more, they're getting to where they will be exactly like human beings. Buy your own Marilyn Monroe robot. That's going to be irresistible for a lot of people. But there's what's called transhumanism. It's where people want to become like robots. They want to extend their lives. Oh, this is a big movement now. It's a big movement now. We now discover that in about 20 to 30 years, or maybe sooner, people will have their entire brain downloaded into a robot. And they will live on as a robot for hundreds and hundreds of years. They think that they can fool and trick God, don't they? I don't think so. But they might live longer than present people do. But I don't know that they're going to be any happier than current people. Now, amazing things are going on. You know, we have the 3D machines, 3D printing. I found a website online that will print you a robot, print you one. There are, of course, robotic wasps and robotic bees. They can alight on you and you think it's a bee and it stings you, but it's just put poison into your system. There are hordes, there are many, the incredible swarms of bees that will attack human beings in wartime. Or spy on you. There might be a bumblebee or a wasp or a mosquito at your home right now watching you. I'm not trying to shake you up. I'm just telling you the truth. Robots. The robot revolution. It's here. And the purpose of my book, Robot Alchemy, is to inform you of them and warn you of them. But to tell you that it does not mean God is finished. No, not by any means. No matter how intelligent these robots are, they will never be the equal of God. That, my friends, is a mathematical certainty. All right. Been great being with you today. Hope you'll tune in next week. I think it's a volume of secrets next week. Oh, we're going to have some secrets. I hope you'll tune in and listen to them. Hope you'll order my book, Robot Alchemy, from the ministry here, because it's a much needed book. I'm trying to give people a few years warning. Nobody else has told you about this. I just did. And there's much more in Robot Alchemy. God bless you, my friends. And my prayer is you'll tune in each week at this same time and discover the power of prophecy.